This looks good. So, Brian.
Yeah.
You have to say your name so we can.
Are we rolling?
We're not only on the air, but we're also on video. So I always want to say.
Crazy man, crazy.
Say your name.
My name is Brian DeJuan.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought it was, but I wanted to be sure.
Now the camera knows too.
Now
everybody knows.
Right.
The people and the things.
Right. Well, before we get started, I see you've got a little thing.
I have a little radio play that I made for the occasion.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So do you think everybody in our listening audience knows what you do, or do you want to tell them?
Oh, well, I'll tell them. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of an odd jobber. I like to make music, sing songs. I write songs, but I also like to collect historical songs, musical artifacts, various stripes, off-the-beat folk material, and non-folk material, depending on your frame of reference.
Mm-hmm.
I also like electronic music or so-called experimental music. And I'm also a visual artist. And I've been also enjoying making film strips, which was a kind of now arcane film medium that was really made for educational or industrial applications as a kind of inexpensive mass-produced slideshow. So I've made these shows like that that have narration and music and a tone on the recording, on the audio, which is a cue for the camera operator to turn a crank and roll the picture up, and you're boop, and everyone hears it, but it's addressed supposedly to the operator, but it has this effect of parceling out everything for the entire audience.
Oh yeah, great, great, fantastic. So you're gonna read this, perform this.
Yeah. Why don't I turn this loose and then we'll have a talk.
Okay.
Unless you want to do it the other way.
We have 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, this will take less than that. I don't know how long this will take, but.
Good.
It's not too long.
Okay. Well, you can do this, and then we'll talk.
Yeah. Okay.
You can go longer because I'm next too, so I can move.
Yeah. That's okay. Okay. Just that I'm. Got it.
Okay. Ready to rock?
Yeah, we're
on.
Ready
so this is variations on the theme you suggested of what is music.
Okay. Good.
What is music? What? What is music? You mean you don't know? When Orpheus went down to the regions below, which men are forbidden to see, he tuned up his lyre, as old histories show, to set his Eurydice free. To set his Eurydice free. Such pretty notes. Will you turn that down? It's driving me crazy! That's not music, that's noise! I take no pleasure in any man who despises music. It is no invention of ours. It is a gift from God. Take care when singing to avoid an unnatural distension of the lips, and try to avoid excessive vibrato. This may be appropriate for the opera house, but not here. Don't be so judgmental! Let's take it again. Measure 43. Remember, just a whisper. It's just too goddamn loud! Boring! The piece takes about an hour and a half. If you would like to leave, you can just walk down the center aisle here and leave. Never point your guitar at anyone. Guitar. Twang, twang. They brainwash the children with this. Oh yeah! This music was not approved by the state. Music is sound. You mean it's made from sound. But not all sounds are beautiful. What about that train? Is it making music? Yes. What about trees? Do they make music? Yes. What about the music of the spheres? There is no music in space. That's why our space program is a colossal waste of taxpayer dollars. That's where you're wrong. Oh, you're such a romantic. Who are you calling a romantic? You want to take this outside? It's raining out now. Who's afraid of the rain, rain, rain? Who's afraid of the rain, rain, rain? Who's afraid of the rain, rain, rain? Who? Not me, but bum bum bum. Angels, harps are for angels, and fiddles are for devils. The devil can't sing, he can only talk. That's why all you hear is talk radio these days. All hell was astonished, a person so wise should rashly endanger his life and venture so far. But how vast their surprise when they heard that he came for his wife. How vast their surprise when they heard that he came for his wife. Architecture is frozen music, and music is defrosted architecture. Where has all the music gone? It was just here yesterday. The beat! The beat! I don't know why you kids listen to this disco stuff. The purpose of music is to soothe. These bebop musicians should know how to play. But I do not like these staccato beats. You can learn to play the auto harp Mother Maybelle Carter style. You too can play the piano in minutes. 12 hours in the wonderful world of music. Is it a bird? No! Is it a plane? No! Oh my God, it's Mighty Mouse! All things must perish from under the sky. Music alone shall live, music alone shall live, music alone shall live, never to die. That's ridiculous. Of course music won't live. Without love, I am nothing more than a clanging cymbal or a noisy gong. The race of musicians. They have pasty complexions, pale and sweaty fingers, usually dirty fingernails. Their love affairs are most squalid. As to the flesh of their faces, it is horrible to see. Their faces are made with the flesh of feet. To find out a punishment due to the fault, old Pluto had puzzled his brain. But hell had not torment sufficient, he thought, so he gave him his wife back again. He gave him his wife back again. Music has been my playmate, my lover, and my crying towel. Are we not formed as notes of music are, for one another, though dissimilar? 5 flats, 2 sharps, 1 sharp, 7 flats, 4 flats, 3 sharps. If the treble clef and the bass clef are having a fight, do you want one to kill the other? Or do you want them both to just stop fighting? Which is prettier, the quarter note or the half note? Which is uglier, the dotted eighth rest or the whole rest? I didn't come here to see no antique car. I came here to see Led Zeppelin. Hey, I've got a great idea. Instead of just having people talk on the radio, we'll have music on the radio. The Edison talking machine is not a toy. I want it sold for business purposes only. Igor Stravinsky, you have destroyed music as an art. After Schoenberg, music died. Pierre Boulez said, Schoenberg is dead. He actually said that. Schoenberg is dead. I ask you, is that nice? I no longer need the silence piece. Music, what's it good for? To advertise products. To lure children to the ice cream truck. To torment prisoners, to soothe the savage breast. It's just a bunch of notes. What? You don't like The Who? Get out of town. What? You don't like Gerald Marble? Get out of town. What? You've never heard of the Frebs? Jimi Hendrix taught me that rock is jazz under pressure. You can't mess with people's heads, that's for sure. But that's what music is all about. Messing with people's heads. And when the trumpet starts to blare, it makes me want to go to more. I am music, and I write the songs. All music is folk music. I ain't never seen a horse sing a song. But pity succeeding soon vanquished his heart, and pleased with his playing so well, he took her again in reward for his art. Such power hath music in hell. Such power hath music. Such power hath music in hell.
Yay. Fantastic, Brian. Thank you for that beautiful composition. That was very funny, too. It's great.
Thank you. Fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It contains some quotes from various musicians here
yes,
and there.
Yes,
you may have recognized some.
I recognize some, yeah. What about from you? This has some quotes from you.
Oh, sure. There's just lots of janglings from overheard things or, yeah, so, but interspersed with it are a few things like, I love this Louis Armstrong quote of, all music is folk music. I ain't never seen a horse sing a song.
Oh, yeah, right.
And there's a section from one of Morton Feldman's essays, the thing about Pierre Boulez said Schoenberg is dead.
Oh, yeah.
I ask you, was that nice? And I love Morton Feldman's essays so much.
They're
so wonderful. And I read them before I heard his music. Yeah. And then I was almost afraid the music wouldn't be as strong as his prose, and then I was just in love with his music and thought everything that he said is true and the things that propelled him to write. So I've certainly gotten so much nourishment from reading him and from listening to him.
Yeah.
I can remember long ago hearing the Hendrix quote about but that's what music is all about, messing with people's heads, which I love.
Yeah, it's great.
And there's some other things. I think there's a piece of a Percy Shelley poem in there. So there's a few actual historical intact nuggets stuffed into the quilt.
Anything you'd like to add to the discussion about what music is?
Well, I guess the reason why I prepared this is because it is such a difficult question and a challenging question because it is a perpetually elusive thing, which is why you can, you know, it's an interesting exercise to try to get to the bottom of something that you can't get to the bottom of, but on the way you're going to find out some things, and it spurs on a kind of an analytical search that you might not otherwise have occasion to do, because I think if you're steeped in doing it or making it, then there's no need to define it, and yet when you have occasion to do it, it's quite wonderful to dig up a lot of things that you might not have considered, or you know, if especially if you're used to going about something in a more intuitive way, to have more of an analytical angle on it. So depending on what kind of disposition you have, or if you're more analytical and then you're sort of taking a romp through the intuitive world, or the other way around, or any other kind of dimension of a way of thinking or different modes of thought that are of a different nature, and to integrate these modes of thought is kind of a gas. So at first when I think of like what is music, I think, oh, what, well, what am I going to say, or what can I say that somebody doesn't already know, or that it's obvious but also it's just kind of a, you know, a definition that doesn't really get to the heart of the matter. So it is nice to open the Pandora's box like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What gets to the heart of the matter for you personally?
Oh dear. Well, I think it starts with being led by something that you don't know about until after the fact, or that you are drawn by something that, you know, even if it isn't what I would say was an intuitive process, you know, something that is like that, or something where it's a funny combination of knowing what you're doing and not knowing what you're doing, or or feeling confident about where you're going, but not being able to justify it to anyone or explain it to anyone. But if you are going to have more of an analytical handle on it, that will come after the fact, because it moves slower. And yet they're, you know, such both valuable faculties that you use in tandem. I can remember when I was a kid, a visiting priest to our church gave a sermon about faith and reason and wanting to kind of disabuse people of the notion that they were in opposition or in conflict, rather than being two faculties of a different nature that really must be in tandem. And I remember thinking that was such a wonderful way to think about it, or to put into it. And then you get into the idea of what people associate or think what these words even really mean, or the meaning of the word faith, which I'm sort of pulling out, you know, with the more secular idea of an intuition, but that you have this faculty where you can glean something through, or if you will, divine intuition of this world that's kind of undefinable, and yet we can, you know, use our faculties to get in there and define and figure out, oh, this does this and this does that. So with music, I mean, song is such a different thing than abstract music, because abstract music, you're, you know, listening to something that is sound, that doesn't involve the verbal dimension. So the synchronizing of verbal things and the music and the rhythms of speech is this whole other ball of wax. And I'm interested in both of those things, but I think of them in these kind of separate camps because they have different concerns. But there is this lure, I mean, particularly with abstract music, because it is an abstract art, it's difficult to say what, to me, is the lure that pulls me into it. I was definitely inspired as a kid by, you know, early 20th century modern music, and particularly an organist, Jean Alain, who didn't live to be very long, but who had a really wonderful, strange tonal imagination. He was writing tonal music, but harmonically it was out there, and he was interested in polytonality, and so it wasn't atonal, but it was this funny world of that had a tonal center, but that would depart from it and return to it. And I have a soft spot for that kind of musical imagination and that kind of tonal imagination, harmonic imagination. And yet so much modernist music, which I love, is more concerned with the way things unfold in time, and you sort of treat sounds more like objects, and you're kind of not concerning yourself with harmony, or what people refer to as a vertical orientation instead of a horizontal one. Which is a funny way to put it, because it's arbitrary what you think of as vertical and horizontal, but it's more about the way things unfold in time, which is different than the way, you know, different pitches go together. So I'm always excited by the strange mystery of chords. Well, there was a wonderful blind French organist composer named Jean Langlais, and I remember getting to see him perform a concert that my father took me to, who was very into his music and this kind of organ music, which is how I got into it. And he said to him when there was a reception, you know, I have a theory about how chords influence the emotion. And he just said, he waved his hands and said, chords are a deep mystery. And my father got a big kick out of that, even though he was of a more analytical bent and wanted to get into it and say, like, how does this thing that we experience, like, how does it operate? How do we get in there? How do we see what's going on outside of our experience, outside of our own sensations?
Yeah, but the analytical response only goes so far. And then you hit the mystery as to why it's actually powerful, or why it actually catches you, and why some chords seem to hold you in different ways from other chords, and particularly in certain combinations, why that has the power it has. You don't know. You never know.
And also there's, you know, of course, the wonderful universality of the language of music, which in the, you know, the archetypical phrase, will you turn that down, is driving me crazy, that what one person will respond to is the most nourishing, beautiful thing is to another person an irritating, objectionable thing.
Or at different times of the day, it might affect you one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how tired you are or what you're up for at that particular time, what your state of mind is.
It is funny, and it starts to make you think of, you know, the arbitrariness of everything in the world and with creatures and the way creatures respond to the environment and how you can love or dislike the same thing at different times or different times in your life. And
you know, I wouldn't. I think there are other alternatives besides arbitrariness for that. You know, the special kind of particularity that arises spontaneously and site-specifically might have other things to do with it intellectually than think of it as arbitrary. I mean, people tend to posit arbitrary as opposed to ordered or rationally explainable.
But you're right. It's more of a complex, lopsided, funny order that's very difficult to account for, but it's not entirely arbitrary. It's just difficult to follow in its complexity.
Right.
So things that appear to be chaotic are in fact not really chaotic or are influenced by deterministic forces. And so you have this...
Or other forces. Yeah. But determinism is a pretty heavy, fateful kind of thing to lay on it. But I mean, I can't stop thinking of determinism as that sort of rationalist explanation of fate that, you know, we got stuck with for a while.
But in a way, you could look at determinism as a kind of colorful, mythological way of looking at the world.
Yeah.
That is one way to look at it, even if it isn't a be-all, end-all, and even to have that kind of mechanistic or fatalistic idea that you can look at, you know, anything that is orderly or deterministic comes from a chaotic soup and gives birth to the order.
Exactly. In your case, for instance, you seem to appreciate such a wide range of possibilities in music and actually perform a very big range of possibilities yourself.
Yeah, and within music and within art, there is such a wide world and so many different pockets or traditions or little cultures.
Yeah.
You know, that sometimes if you're steeped in one, you may not be familiar with another. So then you get into this whole world of, you know, what is familiar, what is unfamiliar, and that's so different for everyone. And there's a Duchamp quote that I love, which is, you hang a painting on the wall, everyone who sees it sees a different painting.
Yeah, right.
And I love how simple and truthful
and plain. Well, that kind of point of view is a lot behind my impulse to make art is. This piece, art is music is poetry is, because which I've been doing for 10 years, and 1,000 people later, I'm still interested in doing it. Why? I don't know why, except that it does continually bring forward the singularity of the moment, the view, the actual artistic angle that from which people come when they make things. And I resist the larger generalizations, except as a form of amusement an entertainment of the mind to think certain things. You know, when you're reading a philosopher, you tend to believe that philosopher if they're any good, and then you go away and you read another philosopher and you believe that one, you know. But and that's not trivial,
right? And also, you know, you can be very much caught up in the world of a thinker, but you can also appreciate it without being devoted to it exclusively.
Yeah, exactly.
Or that you can appreciate thinkers who a lot of what they say is objectionable to you or you don't agree with, but you appreciate where they're coming from or that they do have insights. And that's kind of true of every person. There's always going to be a tangled mess you can never really sort out.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, what I like about your work is how, without prejudice aforethought, you launch into very radically different paths, and you seem to do it on some kind of impulse that is equally unexplainable, and beautifully so, and that I appreciate very much. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. This was very nice to do this with you, and enjoyed your radio play a lot.
Well, thanks for giving me the impetus to do it.
Well, my pleasure, yeah. So we've been listening to Brian Dewan, and he has produced a small radio play for us on about the nature of what art is, and it's a wonderful one indeed, and brings to mind a lot of the great possibilities in a palatable and amusing format. But one must listen to Brian play in person to really see the force of his art, which is terrific. So I've had that pleasure a number of times and hope to have it many more times.
Well, terrific. Well, yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Well, what a pleasure.
Pleasure.
Brian. Thank you very much. Right. Okay. Great seeing you.
All right. We'll see you around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right.